Up next after the news from NPR, it's the KUNM Call-In Show. Today we'll look at the highest rate of poverty that New Mexico has in the nation. We'll look at census data and the latest numbers, and we'll talk about what's being done to assist rural and tribal communities. That's up next after the news from NPR on the KUNM Call-In Show here on KUNM. This is KUNM 89.9 Albuquerque Santa Fe, KBOM 88.7 Socorro, KRAR 91.9 Española, KRRT 90.9 Arroyo Seco Taos, and KRRE 91.9 Las Vegas. We're streaming live online at KUNM.org. You can follow the KUNM Newsroom on Twitter at KUNM News and check out our new Facebook page. Just search for KUNM News on Facebook. It's 8:01. News is next.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Paul Brown. New claims for unemployment benefits in the U.S. declined slightly last week. NPR's Dave Mattingly reports they remain at a level that suggests few people are finding jobs.
Jobless claims dropped only slightly by 3,000. They totaled a seasonally adjusted 382,000. That's a level considered too high to signal employers are hiring enough people to lower unemployment. Gus Fauché is a senior economist at PNC Financial.
I think it's basically what we've been seeing for the past half year or so, which is as job growth is running at a pace of around 100,000 per month. That's basically enough to keep up with an expanding labor force, but not really strong enough to bring down the unemployment rate.
Also of concern, the four-week average of jobless claims rose for a fifth straight week. Dave Mattingly, NPR News, Washington.
Spain's borrowing costs fell today to their lowest level since January. Lauren Freyer reports from Madrid that Spain's economy has been buoyed by an offer from the European Central Bank to buy Spanish debt. But the government needs to formally request aid first.
Spain is keeping Europe guessing about whether it'll ask for a full-blown bailout. Madrid is already getting up to $125 billion in EU loans for its banks, weighed down with bad real estate debt. But overspent regions and rising unemployment, already the highest in Europe, may force the government to ask for another round of loans. Madrid has been loath to accept strings attached to any bailout. It doesn't want the kind of EU oversight Greece has. But that may be impossible to avoid. Lending and spending here are virtually frozen. New data from the Bank of Spain shows lending to households and companies in Spain dropped this summer by the most in 50 years. For NPR News, I'm Lauren Freyer in Madrid.
Secretary of State Hillary Clinton testifies at a closed intelligence briefing on Capitol Hill today. She's seen as certain to discuss how the State Department protects staff in dangerous locations and whether its ability to respond to emergencies is adequate. She's expected to soon establish a review board to investigate the Benghazi, Libya attack in which an ambassador and three other Americans died, a panel the law requires when U.S. diplomatic personnel are killed in the line of duty. Demonstrations by Muslims continue against a video made in the U.S. that denigrates Islam in a number of countries. Students there in Karachi, Pakistan, chanting anti-U.S. slogans and burning U.S. and Israeli flags. There have been protests in more than a dozen Pakistani cities, and the U.S. State Department says U.S. citizens should avoid non-essential travel to Pakistan. Stocks are down today on the lackluster employment news. The Dow at last checked down 50 points, the Nasdaq down 21. This is NPR News.
Support for KUNM comes from the not-for-profit New Mexico Educators Federal Credit Union, where members earn rewards for their relationship, checking, credit cards, auto loans, and mortgages. Details and calculator on member rewards at nmefcu.org.
KUNM programming is supported by the law firm of Rothstein, Donatelli, Hughes, Dahlstrom, Schoenberg, and Bienvenue, with offices in Santa Fe, Albuquerque, and Phoenix since 1976. For information, rothsteinlaw.com.
Good.
Good morning. This is the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Sarah Gustavus. Today we're talking about rural poverty in New Mexico. The U.S. Census released new data last week that showed a continued rise in poverty across the nation, including here in our state. New Mexico has long had one of the highest poverty rates in the country. It now stands at 22% of New Mexicans are currently living in poverty. There are many different aspects of poverty that can be addressed, but today we're going to focus on rural poverty. Do you live or work in rural New Mexico? Do you see things getting better or worse for yourself or other New Mexicans? Join us in the conversation today by calling 505-277-5866 or 866-899-5866. With us today to discuss rural poverty, including efforts taking place to assist New Mexicans, we have Terry Bruner, the State Director for USDA Rural Development. Good morning.
Good morning.
And later we'll be joined by Elizabeth Bernal, Housing Coordinator with the Rural Community Assistance Corporation. All right. Director Bruner, let's first talk about what these numbers mean. Why is the USDA interested in helping out some low-income New Mexicans? Why does that matter?
Well, we are interested. We've had a long history at USDA in supporting rural communities, and that's because of their strong tie to agriculture historically. It's, we've grown that over the years. We're the only agency that has an exclusively rural focus and the only one with a consistent presence in rural communities around the U.S. Congress created many of these efforts, and I think we're concerned because they're concerned with the health of these rural communities.
Tell me about a brief overview of some of the programs that you have that assist people.
Well, we have about 48 different programs at USDA Rural Development. They all arose out of our efforts in the 1930s through the Rural Electrification Administration to wire up farmhouses across the nation with electricity. And we've grown since then to not only continue our role in rural telecom and natural gas and water and wastewater utilities, but also we've expanded into housing. Much of that grew out of the farm labor housing movement. And so we have in New Mexico about 120 housing projects that are administered in some way by USDA Rural Development. We've also got home loans for rural residents. And outside of housing, we have a business and economic development program where we support small businesses, we support renewable energy projects, economic development efforts, and things like that. So we have a very broad spectrum of activities that we undertake at USDA Rural Development.
You're doing grants and loans for programs, for smaller programs, isn't that right?
We have programs that consist of loans, grants, and what we call loan guarantees, where we back up lenders' loans to these communities for all different kinds of projects.
That sounds really significant, getting that money in for maybe local communities that don't have a lot of access to money, can't necessarily go to a bank and get their electricity needs met.
Yes, absolutely. And we have banking institutions across the state, but certainly we don't have the level of banking institutions that you might see in other states. So we kind of offer some options for these rural communities, rural businesses that they may not see because they're not in an urban area.
With this, joining us, this is Director Bruner from the USDA Rural Development. Today we're talking about rural poverty on the KUNM Call-In Show. You can join and talk about your observations, what you're seeing in New Mexico, the needs that maybe have been met by USDA or could be met by programs funded by USDA. Join us today by calling 505-277-5866. We are talking about rural New Mexico, so I would like to give out the phone number for all of New Mexico, toll-free number 866-899-5866. Again, that's 866-899-5866. We do have a call from Glenn in Hemis Springs who wants to talk about something he's seen in his community. Glenn, can you hear me?
Yes, good morning. How are you all?
We're fine, thanks. What are you seeing in Hemis Springs when it comes to poverty in rural New Mexico?
Well, I volunteer at my church up here, and we give out quite a few food baskets every month. And obviously we see it right there. I volunteer about 8 miles down the road at a clothing bank that's open twice a week. Obviously we see it there. Just a block or two from that is a senior center where seniors come in and pay a small amount for a meal every day, and that fills up. My son works south of Las Cruces, Border Servant Corps, $100 a month in community, and he sees poverty like I can't believe. Areas where there are not sewer and water resources, which I didn't know existed. So just from my small life, I subtaught up here in our schools, and I could see some children who are very much in need and dependent upon some of the food and clothing banks that we have. And another family member teaches at a pueblo up here and sees the poverty there. So just, you know, 50 miles, 60 miles from Albuquerque, it's here.
Glenn, do you think things are getting better or worse?
I think it depends. I think now that we're out of summer, fewer part-time jobs, which some of our folks rely on. So it will get worse now as the colder winter months come and fewer jobs. Another reflection of it that is sad to see is alcoholism. However, we do have AA groups here and south of us.
Glenn, thanks for your call today. Terry Bruner, that some really sad observations about what's going on in the community, what this looks like beyond just the numbers that we talk about when we look at poverty in the state. What do you think when you hear this call?
Well, I think, unfortunately, what Glenn is bringing up is something that I see a lot of when I'm driving around rural New Mexico, and I think that the poverty that we see these days isn't necessarily the same in-your-face kind of poverty you saw during the Depression or the Dust Bowl era. It's more of a hidden poverty that maybe folks aren't aware of. But if you look at the statistics, we have 12 out of our 33 counties that we call persistent poverty counties. That means they've had four decades of poverty. And they've been over 20% with their residents living in poverty. We have communities like Luna County where we have more than 30%. That's our highest poverty rate county, more than 30% of people in poverty. And that means a family of four is making less than $23,000 a year of income. What's even sadder, though, is the 48% in Luna County that are children living in poverty. And it's really, I think, gotten to be a situation where it's an anchor on the state, and it's dragging us down. And we have to find some ways to get at this. You know, I'm a great admirer of Robert Kennedy, and I know that in 1966, when he looked at the poverty situation, and he was a U.S. senator, he said, you know, what we've been doing hasn't been the answer. Perhaps it's been helpful, but it hasn't been the answer. I think we have to change a little bit the paradigm and the way we go about looking at this situation and understanding how complex it is, but also having concerted effort by not only the government agencies, but the community at large to really attack this thing, because we've now surpassed Mississippi as the poorest state in the union. And that's simply just not acceptable. And like I said, it's holding us back.
When you talk to people about the work that you do, the work that USDA does, what do you think surprises people the most about the needs in rural New Mexico when it comes to alleviating poverty?
Well, I think it's how vast the issue is and how it exists everywhere in the state. And we see most school districts in the state have 50% or more of the kids on free or reduced lunch programs. And that's an indication of poverty and the economic situation there, and also access to food. But what I find is that in New Mexico, people need help addressing the problem in the first place. There are community leaders that don't have the resources, don't have the capacity to access federal funding. So sadly, in my federal agency, I'm sending resources back every year because communities simply can't access them. So it's our job, and what we've been trying to work at is find more community navigators, partners out there that can get us deeper into the roots of this problem and connect us closer to the community so we can really get at these issues.
What's the problem with accessing that money and setting up those projects? Is it a knowledge gap? What's going on?
It's knowledge, it's skills, it's having resources both from the financial side, but also the people resources that can get access to the federal program. So out of my home loan programs, we're rejecting 90% of the applications we see. And it's because people's credit scores are so bad or they haven't been able to fill out the application. And what you need is a community organization or a nonprofit out there in that situation that's helping people with the application or they're putting them through a financial literacy course, something like that. But at a time when we're cutting budgets and cutting resources, it's really affecting these small towns. So I always throw out the example of a small town I ran into where I met with the mayor and the town clerk, and there's 400 people in the town, and they listed off the projects they needed help with, the senior center, community center, other issues like that. And they said, look, me and the mayor, the clerk and the mayor, we can't fill out a federal grant application and manage that grant. It's just the two of us, and we're both part-time or whatever. And so they have their needs, but they can't even find the time or the ability to apply for the grant and manage the grant to construct the new facility and provide the services. So there's a lot of what we would call capacity building that needs to happen in these communities so that they can better access the resources that are out there.
All right. And that would come from partnering with nonprofits that can maybe step in and fill that need.
Right. Nonprofits and foundations and the state of New Mexico and the state agencies and the federal agencies. And so we all, I mean, I think it's clear, and I kind of see it from the perspective of how many more times do we need to get knocked in the head with these poverty figures to understand we all have to get together and figure out this issue. And that means the state, the feds, local governments, nonprofits, and foundations all got to get to the table here and start working on this issue.
And when you talk about people having a difficulty filling out forms, qualifying for things, individuals, not just cities, has it been worse during the recession? Seems like if people lose a job and they have to use some other means to kind of get by, that could really put a dent in their credit score.
Yes, absolutely. And I think when we think about the financial crisis that we're coming out of, we think about people that lost money in their 401ks, or they maybe had their house foreclosed on. But another thing that happened was they maxed out their credit cards, and they ruined their credit score. And you can rehab those credit scores, but in a lot of cases, people built up these really bad financial habits. And so they're kind of existing outside of the regular financial system, and the question is, how do you bring them back in and get them back into functioning financially? And once they get to that point, they have much more likelihood of success. There's a Sheffield University study from back in 07 that says, you know, people in these rural communities are more constricted. They have less chances to emerge out of these situations that they're in because the resources aren't available like they are in urban areas. So how do we bring those resources to bear to help them emerge from this situation? We find that people that we take through financial literacy training and such are better borrowers, and we have lower default rates and lower foreclosure rates in the private banks. So there are opportunities there for some success.
That's Director Terry Bruner from the USDA Rural Development. Today on the KUNM Call-In Show, we're talking about rural poverty, both at an individual level, also at the level of working with local communities, towns, and cities to get the assistance that they need to help improve things for New Mexicans. We have some phone calls we're about to take. We would also like to hear from you today, what you're seeing in the community, what you think would make a difference, as Director Bruner was just saying, helping people prepare for a better future, for accessing resources that are available. Give us a call and share your thoughts, 505-277-5866 or 866-899-5866. Charles from Rio Rancho, what kind of cuts have you seen right now?
Well, I work with NEA New Mexico, the Education Association, and in a lot of rural areas. And I've seen where there's a lot of teachers or school employees who are spouses, their spouses run the family farms or they live on family farms. And And, you know, the cutbacks in the last 4 years have affected the farms because they're, you know, the partners, one of the two adults in the family earns their income from the schools. But also I see in many districts that there are, because with the overall cuts to the budgets, a lot of districts are cutting back on their agricultural education, and there was a lot of overlap there with the Future Farmers Associate of America programs and so on. And so I've seen in some districts, like Moriarty used to have two full-time faculty on that, and now they're down to less than one. I've seen this in other districts, too, where those programs are cut back. So we're not only hurting the immediate economies of rural areas with the education cutbacks, but also the long-term capacity building. I think Terry used that term. People in the rural areas to farm and ranch effectively. And I wonder if USDA has any resources out there that could help supplement the resources that are now missing from the public schools.
All right. We'll let Director Bruner talk about that.
Yes, Charles, we do. We have programs that help nonprofits and public bodies teach farmers to, in a sense, be better farmers, teach them accounting practices, marketing techniques, better farming practices. We also have programs to teach people cooperative development. Cooperatives are a good way to muster the power of a lot of small farmers to increase their buying power. But we are fortunate in that at our USDA Farm Services Agency, we have added on a new state executive director, Lawrence Real, who came out of Mr. Cog here in Albuquerque. But he is doing a good job of trying to get our farmers to sign up for those USDA programs, get them to take out some insurance, get them into farm loans for equipment and things like that. And I wanted to mention one story. Charles brought up the issue of teachers. I want to bring up the story to illustrate what I see out there. I was in Lordsburg, New Mexico last spring, or a year ago last spring, and went to a house in the main downtown area of Lordsburg, which looked like a seemingly normal house. I walked up to visit with somebody who was looking at our home repair program and saw a big pile of firewood in the back and walked in the house, and all the walls were blackened because there had been a kerosene fire in the house. The house had one wood-burning stove in a five-room house, and the levels of each different room were at different levels because the sand had shifted or whatever underneath, and the stove in the kitchen wasn't hooked up. I mean, all sorts of issues in this house. There was light coming in through the walls of the adobe bricks, and this was in the main area of Lordsburg. And I think we consider Lordsburg to be a mid- to small-sized town in New Mexico, the county seat of Hidalgo County. And the person pulled up who owned the home, and she was a 25-year veteran of the school district. She was a teacher. And this was the kind of housing situation that she had. And she said that not many people around her had much different housing situations. But you could have thrown yourself back into 1930 looking at that house. And this is the type of poverty and I think situations people are living in. And in New Mexico, we've become so accustomed to it and not paid enough attention to it that it seems acceptable at this point. But we can't have school teachers living in housing like that. We have to do much, much better. And so I think Charles has a good point about some of the efforts that need to happen with the school districts, with kids that are going into agriculture. We've got a lot of efforts to try to get first-time farmers back in the land. We've seen that's where our largest growth is in farming, is with new farmers.
Really?
And so New Mexico has the oldest farmers in the nation. The oldest average age for a farmer is in New Mexico. So we need those younger people coming into agriculture. So we've got some programs there. I know our Farm Services Agency has some programs, and also our Natural Resources Conservation Service as well.
New Mexico's agricultural legacy. I'd like to also welcome, we now have with us Elizabeth Bernal from the Rural Community Assistance Corporation. Thanks for joining us today.
Hi, Sarah. Thank you.
I know that you work with housing in the state. Can you make some comments about what can be done to help people who are living in housing that could be improved, could improve their quality of life? What kinds of assistance can you offer those folks?
Well, actually, I'm glad to see Terry here. Hi, Terry. How are you doing?
Hi.
USDA has a lot of funding available for affordable housing or developing affordable housing or repairing affordable housing or, units. And there's a lot of funding out there actually available for low-income residents to repair their homes, which, as Terry was alluding to, is that a lot of the homes in New Mexico really are dilapidated and need help. USDA is one of them. HUD has funds, which are home funds. Trying to think of all the other ones. And there is also a lot of infrastructure funds out there available for tribal lands and for colonias, designated colonias in New Mexico. And there are like 142 colonias in New Mexico, designated areas. And those funds are tribal infrastructure funds, which is administered through the New Mexico Indian Affairs Office, and also your colonias infrastructure fund, which is a new fund that is going through New Mexico New Mexico Finance Authority, actually.
When you drive around the state, do you find that people know that these programs exist, that this is something that they could access? Or are you spending a lot of time telling people that that's even available?
Actually, I guess the layperson might not be as familiar with those, and I would have to say that most people don't know about that. But I think our partners, and I call partners USDA, HUD, nonprofits in the state, local governments, are really familiar with those type of funding sources. Is it utilized well in the state? I think it is. I just think there isn't enough funding to meet the need, I guess, in the state. It's sad to say, but I guess New Mexico is one of the top five states in the nation with the poverty rate as high as it is in rural communities. So there is a big need in New Mexico. Would education help the layperson? I think it would. I think that's something that we need to do more community meetings and get out there and get this word out. The problem is just getting people, the working people, to be able to get out there and attend these meetings. So it's there's all kinds of ways of trying to address that, actually.
Many levels of challenges, indeed.
Yes.
We have quite a few phone calls lined up, people ready to talk about what they've seen around New Mexico. Let's take a call from Will in San Miguel County. You'd like to talk about farmers and agriculture, a topic that's come up quite a bit this hour so far. Will, what's your comment or question?
Hello. I live in Las Vegas, New Mexico, but I frequently go into Morta County. And Morta County is a place that, you know, it's got really rich soil resources, really rich water resources. The whole county is basically, all the bottom land is gridded out for agriculture. But there's been this complete decoupling of community and agriculture in a place like Morta. People who have driven through there have seen, the old roller mills. I think there's like five in the area. But in the 1950s, you get a big drought, and you start getting corn subsidies and wheat subsidies from other parts of the country. It's no longer economically viable to grow wheat in a place like Morta. So in today's Morta, everybody grows alfalfa. So you have this huge resource for agriculture where people used to grow food. And because of the way the fossil fuel economy is, the way that the agricultural trade economy is, we're growing feed for horses, feed for hobby horses. I also want to touch on a lot of these rural areas and the mountainous communities are... The condition of forests is completely thickened. We've seen what wildfires can do in the last couple of years, but there's really very little in the way of community-based forest restoration, where people are actually going up, cutting firewood, cutting logs for special use, etc. And we just don't see that anymore. That's my comment.
All right, thanks for that comment. We're going to take a break now. You're listening to the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Sarah Gustavus. With us today, we have Terry Bruner from the USDA Rural Development. We also have Elizabeth Bernal, Housing Coordinator with the Rural Community Assistance Corporation. You can email your comments or questions, callinshow@kunm.org. We also are taking calls today, 505-277-5866 or 866-899-5866.
Disability is a natural part of life, but everyone's performance can be maximized. New Mexico Business Leadership Network is a proud partner of the Working Disabled Individuals Program and collaborates with employers to accomplish the business imperative of providing equal employment opportunities for people with disabilities. For more information, visit NewMexicoBLN.com or call 379-0572. A message from the tax-exempt New Mexico Business Leadership Network.
For 2 days each year, New Mexico becomes the center of the musical world, and you're invited to Globalkirky. Join Bombino Osomatli, R. Carlos Nakai, Betty Levette, and a dozen other of world music's finest in live performance. Tune in for Globalkirky on this station. Over 16 acts from 5 continents and 14 countries on 3 stages at the National Hispanic Cultural Center. Friday and Saturday night, September 21 and 22, 7 p.m. to midnight on KUNM.
This is 89.9 KUNM. Thanks for joining us today. We're talking about rural poverty in New Mexico. And let's take a call from Bill in Los Lunas. Bill, what's your comment or question?
Yes, good morning. Charles was talking about the difficulties of his obstacles he has to conquer while out here in the rural section on the other side of the spectrum. You can make that a hundredfold on the obstacles. For example, you can go from economic development centers from Las Lunas all the way to Las Vegas, New Mexico, and not accomplish nothing. You can take about educational business development courses at UNM Valencia County and make business plans an inch thick and still not develop nothing. It's very difficult to accomplish anything in the rural section. For example, I'll give you one business plan that I had. There wasn't a car wash between Bosque Farms in to Las Lunas on Highway 47. I made a business plan that was an inch thick. I presented it to everybody to get my information, including car wash equipment sellers. And when I did that, the equipment sellers in Albuquerque gave my information to a company that was already established in Albuquerque of my location that I wanted to put this car wash. Well, within 6 months, he was there with his own business. So it's difficult for an individual alone to accomplish situations like that. Thank you.
All right. Let's also take a call from Kara in Albuquerque. Kara, what's your comment or question?
Hi. Yes, I just wanted to make people aware of a great program that's out there that's funded by USDA grant money, which is going to rural New Mexico Main Street communities, and it's the Revolving Loan Fund, which is available to rural businesses and is out to support those businesses in making code changes that they need to make for their buildings or and take care of any deferred maintenance. The loan rate is unbelievably low, and there is a whole team of people working both in Historic Preservation Division and Main Street to support those businesses who are interested and help get them through the application process. So it's a working program, and it's accessible throughout all rural New Mexico Main Street communities. And so just want to encourage that knowledge.
Thank you. We'd also like our other listeners to call with their comments and questions. What are you seeing in rural New Mexico? What have your experiences or the experiences of your family been in trying to improve your lives in rural New Mexico? Phone number is 505-277-5866. And we are talking about rural New Mexico. We would like people to be able to call in on our toll-free number, 866-899-5866. Again, that's 866-899-5866. 5866. We also have our email, if that's more convenient, callinshow@kunm.org. Again, that's callinshow@kunm.org, and we can read your comments on the air. Let's get to some of the issues raised in those two calls. We have individuals that have an idea that want to try to have some success. What's the best way that they can be successful?
Well, on the business side, there's a wide variety of resources out there, and the caller from Los Lunas is right in that it can be hard to find them. And one of our struggles is to let everybody know. I mean, Kara's call just now about that Main Street Fund is an important one. We've got organizations working on these issues. It's often just a challenge to link these individuals up with them. So I've got revolving loan funds that I work with that we fund through Westcor, through the Loan Fund. And they are specifically tasked with business loans in rural areas. I've got a micro lending program out there now with organizations across New Mexico too. And it's just a matter of getting the word out. And it's so, I mean, I meet with business people every day in my job. And it's just amazing how little they know about what's out there for them. It's the same with home loans. I go to rural communities and people say, I can't get a home loan. But and I ask them, have you talked to us? And they say, no. And have you talked to HUD? Have you talked to the – no, I haven't talked to them. And so part of our challenge is to make sure everybody knows about those resources so that our small business development centers, which are located in these rural communities, know about it. Our chambers of commerce, our advocacy organizations for business know about the resources that are available. And New Mexico's got to grab those resources. And like I started – saying at the start of this program, I'm sending money back to Washington that we don't use because people aren't accessing it. So we have a challenge of getting the word out. And I think Liz would probably agree with that, is that you know, letting people know about what RCAC does and all these other organizations, mm-hmm. we have to better do a better job, always a better job of getting the word out.
Elizabeth?
I agree with Terry, but one of the areas that I would probably direct this gentleman to is the Small Business Administration. They usually have quite a few workshops, and they also tie in a lot of other programs with their program. So I think the Small Business Administration would be the first step for this gentleman to go to.
Sounds like maybe he'd gotten some training already and gone through some programs. Mm-hmm. Do you think it's extra challenging for a first time or someone with their first business idea, the competition and some of the other things that they have to get through just to get something up and running?
I think the first time is always the hardest, but I would say to him is don't stop the first time. You have to continue trying and seeing if you can tie in funding with your ideas. I think some of the most successful entrepreneurs are the ones that didn't give up on the first or second or third try.
We are still taking phone calls. Call in with your comments or questions if you'd like to know how you could access funding for a good idea. We've been hearing this hour that funding is going back to Washington, D.C. It could help people here in New Mexico. We're talking about rural poverty here today. The number is 505-277-5866 or 866-899-5866. Next, let's take a call from Gladys in Taos. Gladys, what's your comment or question?
Well, my comment and question is to that Terry Brenner from USDA. I have tried numerous times to try to assist. I've been a court advocate for now 16 years on pro bono basis, and I can't be doing that. I mean, I'm sure Terry gets paid, and I don't get paid, and I'm an elder too. But I see in my community the need is so great. I mean, huge. I don't take that very lightly, but I have gone through USDA as well as through Human Services Department, and I jumped through the hoop with bureaucracy to help our elders because some of them don't read and write. So after we finished the applications, all the elders that I have submitted for food, to get assistance with food, qualified for $10 a month. Now, how in the world can anybody live on $10 a month? I was so angry with that type of decision after going, you know, through all the hoops with them. I wanted to know how to teach my people to live on $10 a month and what can you buy on $10 a month.
Gladys, can you tell us who your people are?
The people are from residents at the Taos Pueblo.
Taos Pueblo. Now, was that the food assistance, was that from USDA or was that from another government program?
Both.
Okay. And so you're especially concerned about elders and seniors. Is there a housing concern as well?
Well, yes, there is, because I have called HUD. And the main HUD office is in for us is in Phoenix. They refuse to talk to me because I am making waves and I'm not going to stop at anything. I'm a person who will stand up for our rights and what we can do about our situation. Right now, it's getting cold here in the northern New Mexico area. I can't find any funding to get people to even get weatherization. So where is this information that this Terry guy is talking about, and this so-called funding that he's sending back? Why, I mean, you know, are the tribal people not notified when they can seem to get access to our names and numbers, especially now that you know, of course, we're I'm talking about politics now. You know, everybody talks to you or calls you at nighttime, whether it's 9 o'clock at night or 10 o'clock at night or 11 o'clock at night. And why is there not a way to reach the people and get this information out that tells us there is funding available for, like, grants,
all right,
loans that different people are talking about? Now, don't you think that we should also be prioritizing? Some guy was called in. I didn't get to listen to the rest of the other comments that he made, but I think he was trying to develop a business for a car wash. Well, car wash is unimportant right now because lack of water. We haven't had good rainfall. So I think that everything should be prioritized coming through out of USDA.
All right. Gladys, let's put your question to our guest today. We'll let Director Bruner take that on. And then Elizabeth's also worked with some tribal communities, and we'll let her comment on that as well. But we'll keep you on the line, Gladys. Director Bruner.
So I think first and foremost, Gladys, the one thing I would recommend is to give me a call and let's set up a time, but I could come by and visit with you on what we have to offer at rural development. My number is 761-4950, and that's in Albuquerque, and you could call me anytime. I'd be happy to talk to you or sit down and meet about the issue. And I'll just say we have home repair funds and weatherization funds that we administer through a grant program for low-income senior citizens. So those are folks that are generally going to have an adjusted gross income of $20,000 or less. We provide a $7,500 grant. That senior citizen has to come up with two contractor estimates, and I will send our staff up to Taos Pueblo if you'd like to take them around for a day and try to sign people up for that program. I'm happy to do that. As far as the food and nutrition service programs that are out there, that's not my area, but Gladys, I'm happy to try to connect you to to our regional administrator who works on that issue, and you could talk about it some more. But I'll just say from our perspective, we are trying the best to get the word out with the resources that we have. Our budget has been cut dramatically since I was appointed to this position 3 years ago, and we need more resources to get the word out. And part of what we've had to do because of budget cuts is try to train up partners that can get the word out for us, because we just don't have enough bodies on the street. We don't have a advertising budget or anything like that to get the word out like we'd like. So we try to team up with folks like the RCAC and other folks to let them know what we have. We've had several meetings with tribal leaders at 8 Northern Pueblos, All Indian Pueblo Council, met with governors and lieutenant governors to let us know what's out there. I've toured Taos Pueblo and gone around and tried to help with their housing program. We actually have a program we have financed with Red Willow Farmers at Taos Pueblo to teach them better farming techniques. So we have had some resources we spent the last couple of years up there, but there's certainly more we can do and to get the word out and to get more people signed up.
Elizabeth.
Hi. Yes, Gladys, I'm glad to hear from you. I actually was in Taos Pueblo a few weeks ago working with the housing authority there in Taos. They're recently trying to obtain and get into the area of home repair with the Home Owner Occupied Rehab Program through what they call New Mexico Mortgage Finance Authority. That is a grant that's up to $80,000 per housing unit in order to repair it and bring it up to code. It's a great opportunity for the Pueblo. I would suggest that you might want to talk to the housing authority, try to get an application in place. I think most of the effort that the individual has to put into this is just bringing all the documentation that's required for the applications. It sometimes could be kind of daunting. What we try to do at our CAC is train our the tribal entities that we work with, the nonprofits that work with local governments that we work with, on how to best administer these funds and help the individual so that it isn't such a daunting task to the individual. But I would suggest you try talking to your housing authority on that.
We also have another comment about the elderly in rural areas. John from Albuquerque, what's your comment or question? John from Albuquerque, are you with us? All right. Let's go to Maxine from Santa Fe. Maxine, what's your comment or question?
Hi. My comment is that I was listening and hearing that we need to get resource information out there. I work in Santa Fe for Santa Fe Civic Housing, which is a HUD-funded program. It's public housing. And there are family self-sufficiency programs operated through housing authorities. One has to be an assisted resident of the housing authority. They can get into a family self-sufficiency program that offers a major monetary incentive when one goes to work. They earn the increase in income, or I'm sorry, the increase in rent due to earned income goes into a savings account, and they're coached to move toward entrepreneurship or to move toward homeownership and things like that. They can spend the money however they want once they graduate the program. You can work it from 1 to 5 years, and folks graduate with anywhere from $3,000 to $25,000 thus far. It's supposedly the best-kept secret in the United States, but you can look online. But if you are getting housing assistance, and these housing organizations have that program, they can get monetary assistance through those programs. And then at the same time, I'm a partner with Prosperity Works out of Albuquerque, and we distribute individual development accounts where one can save up to $1,000 and get a match between $2,000 and $4,000, so either 2-to-1 or 4-to-1, and you can spend those funds on business, on opening a business, starting a business, or increasing or improving that business. So even if you have one started, you can get money to help fund, help you grow your business beyond that. And you can also go into home ownership or education through those funds, and so you can get up to $5,000 to do that. And again, that's Prosperity Works out of Albuquerque.
Maxine.
So I just wanted to add those resource pieces, yeah.
Do you think entrepreneurship is really the key to helping alleviate poverty in rural New Mexico?
Absolutely. And now is a good time as well. Certainly, one of the key aspects of that program, you know, the folks, the partners that manage those programs are coaches. So one of the major pieces of that, though, are that we work with Small Business Administration or people like SCORE and Santa Fe who help folks develop a business plan. I think one of the things that is most important about that is that we help people develop a realistic plan, you know, an assessment of whether their business would be successful or not, and help those folks be successful with that. If that's not happening, then certainly, you know, that it's not necessarily the best idea for most people to go into business right now.
All right. Thanks for your comment today. We do have we can take a few more calls. What is your idea, listeners out there? What do you think would make the biggest difference right now to alleviate rural poverty in New Mexico? Have you seen something that's worked, or do you have an idea that you think would work if you could get some support from the federal government? We have people here today talking about access, resources that are available to people in New Mexico. Give us a call, 505-277-5866. Toll free 866-899-5866. And what about entrepreneurship? What's available to help support people who want to be entrepreneurs, have an idea, have gotten some training to put that in place?
Well, there's definitely, as Liz mentioned earlier, there's a Small Business Administration. There's SCORE, which mm-hmm. is retired executives that provide assistance. You have in your rural communities what we call Small Business Development Centers that are funded by the SBA and the state to provide those types of services, how to write a business plan, how to write a marketing plan. You have folks like WestCorp in Albuquerque mm-hmm. that provide assistance. You have small business incubators in places like Farmington and all over the state. There are chambers of commerce who offer a variety of programs as well. So there's a lot out there, and I hope people realize that it just takes a little searching and calling around, and you can find hopefully some resources. I'll say, though, that we always need more. I mean, we always need something more out there, especially in the smaller communities that may not have it, may not have that small business development center presence, or may not have a chamber. So there's a lot of assistance out there, but there can always be more. I don't know if, Liz, you have – if I forgot anything.
You mentioned pretty much a lot of those agencies that I was thinking of. I know that there's organizations like Help New Mexico, which has several offices throughout the state, which offer different types of assistance for very low-income families. And the individual development accounts are one of the areas that I was going to talk about that is a great tool. It's not one that you just can get in there and get the $5,000. You have to go through some financial training, the individual does. They have to be willing to take classes and stay in place and save their own money. So it's a process. It really is. And
what about jobs, though? I mean, not everyone's going to be an entrepreneur. How to bring more jobs into some of the rural communities so people don't have to leave and go to Las Cruces and Santa Fe and Albuquerque?
Well, there is a Workforce Investment Act, which has several workforce boards throughout the state, seven actually, that are looking at that issue. There's funding available for training. A lot of it is going to the colleges so they can take courses so they can increase their capacity to get better jobs. That is one avenue to increase your capacity and to have the education needed to get the correct jobs that you need out there and get livable wages. It's a major issue. In rural America, though, it's even if you have an education, even if you have everything you need to get a job, the jobs are just not there. And that's a real issue. I talk a lot about the seven qualities of a healthy community, and one of the qualities is jobs with livable wages. So that's a difficult thing to really work out in one conversation, but there is different types of assistance out there available.
And I might say from my perspective at USDA and what we're doing in the Obama administration is to attempt to set the conditions so that employment can occur. So making sure that the utilities are in place. So do we have broadband in these communities? Do we have appropriate water and wastewater? Do we have a local business incubator? Do we have an economic development plan in these communities? So we've invested actually in two regions, in southwest New Mexico, Grant, Luna, Hidalgo County, and in the northeast part of the state, and taken their community leaders through an economic development coursework designed by Mississippi State University. So they learn how to assess all the different assets that they have in their community and what they're going to do with that and what their economic targets will be and what their plan is. So jobs aren't just going to simply arrive at your doorstep one day. These communities have to work through a process of figuring out what they can do to develop more jobs. I've been to just about every town in this state. They all have something to offer, and they all have places where job growth can occur. But it's up to those community leaders and the residents there to strategize and put in the effort to figure out how they're going to get better and how they're going to find those opportunities with what they have to offer in that community.
I'd like to take one more call from Carol in Penasco. Carol, what's your comment or question today?
Good morning. This is Carol Miller calling, and I've done rural development in New Mexico for about 40 years. And the state of New Mexico has to step up and help with the poverty. The reason there's such broad differences between poverty in New Hampshire that's about 9% and poverty in New Mexico that's probably realistically closer to 30% is that the state has not provided the kinds of support that other states do. For example, child care support is critically important. We need a lot more than that. A lot of young moms where I live go to work, and by the time they've paid for their gas and their child care, they're not bringing any money home. There are just so much help that the state could put in. And we have a double whammy here that people aren't talking about yet with state cutbacks plus federal cutbacks. has really hurt even a lot of the communities that have been getting on their feet. And I'm very familiar with the Lordsburg Hidalgo area, for example, and it's been a lot of private foundation support that has also been providing help down there. But then we get these trophy communities that are wonderful if you live in one, but it's like the foundations say, well, they did it, so now just do what they did without any additional support. It has to be a commitment to end poverty. And no one's talked about all of the money the federal government. New Mexico's kind of been addicted to what I call the World War II economy, thinking that we can continue with the military and the nuclear weapons spending as a priority and cutting back on education and other programs. But we need to totally revisit the federal and the state budgets if we're going to deal with poverty in New Mexico.
Thanks for your call, Carol. Let's have our guests address that as one. The last kind of comment is the relationship between state spending and federal spending, what that looks like, maybe what might be on the horizon for New Mexico.
Well, what's on the horizon, state and federal-wise, I mean, federally, we are hoping that, obviously, an economic recovery is going to assist with federal budget issues. And I think you've seen some pretty dramatic cuts. I mean, my organization takes a 3 to 5% cut every year I've been there in this administration as we work with Congress to try to figure out how to balance the budget. It's not a good situation. It's not ideal. And Carol is right in that we have to take a different perspective on how we're going to approach the issue. I think the state does as well. I see a gradual constriction of resources, and I see the state pulling out of these communities in many ways. We are trying to get deeper into the communities, but we need the state to do the same. Come with us, get deeper into these towns, help us work a little bit harder, and try to get at the roots of this problem. But I think there needs to be less constriction on the state side. We're trying to do the best we can on the federal side with what we have. But again, there is some need for a heavier budget to get truly at the nature of these problems.
Are you reaching out to state government? Are you trying to convince them to come along with you?
We are. We're working with them on a variety of different areas, but I think we can always do more, and get a little further into the issue. And I'm glad to see the state's going to have an economic development summit in a few weeks. I think that's absolutely needed, we have done some efforts like that as well to try to get at the root of these things. I do think that you can learn from some of these communities that have had some success, and I'll say that I see communities that are doing a great job. I mean, a fantastic job of moving forward. And one of the common characteristics they have is that the community is united, and they've decided to tackle these issues, and they chip away at them every single day and try to get better and better and better. And that seems to me, if I can kind of say there's a recipe for success, that's the recipe I've seen.
All right. We're going to wrap up here. We've been talking about rural development here today on the KUNM Call-In Show. That was Director Terry Bruner from the USDA Rural Development. Can you give people your contact information again?
Yes, I'm at 505-761-4950, and that's our Albuquerque office, 761-4950.
All right. We were also joined today by Elizabeth Bernal from the Rural Community Assistance Corporation. Can you give people your website or contact information as well?
Yeah, my contact information is actually my cell phone. I travel quite a bit. It is 505-414-1014. My email address is ebernal, E-B-E-R-N-A-L, at rcac.org.
Thanks. I'm Sarah Gustavus. This is the KUNM Call-In Show. Thanks for joining us.
Donating to Goodwill means keeping it local, accepting donations of gently used items at locations in Albuquerque, Rio Rancho, and Santa Fe to support programs helping New Mexicans overcome barriers to employment. Online at goodwillit.org. A message from the tax-exempt Goodwill Industries of New Mexico.
Mark's Guitar Center donated a ukulele as an incentive for you to give to KUNM before the October pledge drive begins. We'll draw the winning name on Friday, October 12th at 5 p.m. So if you get the envelope with the ukulele and the iPad on it, please respond today. It doesn't require a gift to be in the drawing, but you'll get a really colorful and useful program grid magnet for a donation of just $20. You can also register and give at KUNM.org. Click Support KUNM.
This is New Mexico's community-powered public radio, KUNM 89.9 Albuquerque Santa Fe, KRRT 90.9 Arroyo Seco Taos, KRRE 91.9 Las Vegas, KRAR 91.9 Española, and KBOM 88.7 Socorro, with translators K220EM 91.9 Nangizi, K216CT 91.1 Eagle Nest, and K216CU 91.1 Cuba, online at KUNM.